بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله المنشئ الخلق من عدم، ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم. يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك على نبيك محمد. يا رب بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الناس قد جاءتكم موعظة من ربكم وشفاء لما في الصدور وهدى ورحمة للمؤمنين. قل بفضل الله وبرحمته فبذلك فليفرحوا هو خير مما يجمعون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، brothers and sisters, and my mothers and sisters, the ayat kareema of the Quran Pak which I have recited, Allah tabaraka ta'ala says, Ya Yuhannas, these are the few occasions where Allah ta'ala speaks to the whole of mankind. Otherwise, the general address of the Quran is Ya Yuhalladina Amanu. Allah Ta'ala addresses the people of Iman. But this is one of those few occasions where Allah is speaking to the whole of mankind. Ya Yuhannas, قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِظَةً. A maw'idha, a wa'az, a nasiyah has come to you. This is the Qur'an Kareem. The Qur'an which Allah Ta'ala has sent is a maw'idha, is a nasiha, is an advice to the whole of mankind. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I'm leaving two lecturers behind me which are sufficient for you. One is a talking lecturer and one is a silent lecturer. The talking lecturer is the Quran. If a person recites, reads the Quran, he will find innumerable lessons in the Quran. If a person understands, what then to say? The Quran, throughout the Quran, if a person does his daily recital, half a page of the Quran, one page of the Quran, and if he looks at the translation or if he listens to the interpretation, the translation we can see on our own, the interpretation we must be qualified to interpret the Quran, because the Quran's meaning is not what we make of the Quran, but it is what Allah means. And that is what is called tafsir. What Allah Ta'ala means, that comes to us. And that has come to us through Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For example, one ayat which we will easily term a very simple ayat, حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ نِعْمَ الْمَوْلَى وَنِعْمَ النَّصِيرُ. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam that I don't understand the meaning of this ayat. Who was this who says it? Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is the most eloquent and the master of the Arabic language. He says, I don't understand. Please ask Allah, what is the meaning? So the meaning is not what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have understood, but the meaning is what Allah means from there. That is the meaning of the Quran. For example, today, say I'm sitting here and I ask for water. Everyone will understand that I would want water to drink. What will be my words? Please give me some water, bring me water. And I'm standing with my sleeves folded up, I'm standing next to my car, and I'm ready to wash the car, and I say, please bring me water. There, what will the meaning be? Not in a glass. The words will be exactly the same. Please bring me water. But when I'm standing by the car, and you can see I'm going to wash the car now, when I say, please bring me water, I mean the hose pipe, I mean a bucket of water. The meaning is completely different. So the words of the Quran are there. And the interpretation is not what I think of it, but it is what Allah tabaraka ta'ala means. And that can only be known is by the chain of people who have learned the meaning of the Quran from Allah, which is Rasul Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba. and then the Tabi'een, Tabi'een, and the chain of these people is in existence till today. And by the Qasam of Allah, His promise, it will remain till the day of Qiyamah. And that is the only true meaning of the Qur'an. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so emphatic on this point that he says, any person who gives his own opinion in the Qur'an, and even if it be correct, he will find his place in Jahannam. He has closed the doors completely from us giving our own opinions of the Qur'an. The meaning of the Qur'an is not what I think is the meaning, or what I understand, but it is what has come from Allah till today. And that is the only meaning, and that is what is called tafsir of the Qur'an. So this is that maw'izah. Also, for example, a person speaking on a phone, and somebody listening to him is saying, yes, 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 which is a common thing. And then he says, yes, in writing it will come the same. That what he said, yes, emphatically, won't be written any differently from the other yes. It will be in writing, it will be that you are saying yes, 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 yes. But we know when he's saying yes, yes, he's in agreement. Or he's just listening, he's just listening. But when he says yes, now we know that whole meaning is different. It's the same word. But the meaning of that word from the previous yeses is a complete difference. So in the Qur'an al-Kareem, expressions which will come. The word Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. What is the meaning of it? The speaker has the first authority and the right to interpret his words. When I say something, we all might understand something else. If we misunderstood or anything, or we are not clear in our mind, the right thing is that we ask the speaker if he's present. What did you mean? What he meant, he will know. So Allah Ta'ala, who is the first and the first person, the speaker in the Qur'an, the meaning of the Qur'an is what Allah means and not what we understand. We have no right to make our meaning of the Qur'an, and that has come to us. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I'm leaving two lecturers behind me. One is a speaking lecturer, which is the Qur'an, which speaks to us all the time. And the other is the silent lecturer, and it is a very effective lecturer, and that is more death. A person ponders about death for 1 minute every day, for half a minute, and he thinks the time is coming, Malik al-Maut is coming to me now, and all my possessions are now going away from me. Now the time is coming that my ruh is going to be taken, and he ponders, am I going to go on iman, or how am I going? Whether my mind will be in order, whether kalima will be on my tongue or not. When maut is going to come to me, in what state of clothing am I at that time? When maut is going to come to me, in which place am I going to be at that time? If a person thinks of all this just for half a minute a day, that now my maut has come. The people, they have sent the news everywhere that so and so has passed away. They are coming, they now giving ghusl, they taking off my clothes. My expensive watch has been taken off. I've got perhaps gold in my false teeth. My false teeth are being removed. My eyes are being, my spectacles, which are so expensive, are being removed. Everything of mine, I've got no choice. Like a person if he's being robbed, if he thinks. And there are few robbers around him who strip him down naked. They rob him of everything. What is his condition? If a person ponders this for a little while, soon the time is coming when the people are going to carry me to the Qabristan. And then all are going to come away. My son who loved me so much. My wife who never wanted me to leave the house. And today now the time is coming when they're all going to be in their warm and comfortable places. And they're going to leave me alone in my qabr. Munkar and Nakir are coming now. And they are questioning me with regard to my life. With regard to what I did in this world. With regard to what I brought with me. All my world is my life. And my object of life was only material gains. Big bank balances, properties, foreign assets, whatever it was, all that is left behind. Munkar and Nakir are asking me, what have you brought with you? Where the family is fighting, what did he leave behind? They are disputing with one another, they are fighting of their shares there. And yeah, with me, I'm being asked and I'm being fought with, what did you bring with you in your qabr? So this is that other wa'az. That other maw'idah, that other nasiha, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has left for us. If a person holds fast to the Qur'an Kareem, and what does it mean? We read one ruku a day. If we can't read one supara, not half, not quarter, at least one ruku a day. It is a great ni'mat. If we read it with proper understanding, alhamdulillah. If there's an alim to give us the explanation, the proper explanation, that is the greatest. And if that is not the case, the barakat of the Qur'an is so great that if we recite the Qur'an even without understanding, the meaning of the Qur'an is going to seep into us. It is a zikr. It is the greatest zikr, the Qur'an al-Kareem. If a person makes a ma'amool, a practice of his, a daily practice of reading even one ruku of the Qur'an, quarter sufara, whatever it may be, he will find the teachings of the Qur'an will come into his life. Our old people, it was very common, they knew, we would say they were ignorant of deen. They had their few little practices, but we will find that they will say that, brother, this I cannot do, I can't go against my promise. The teaching of the Qur'an had seeped into them. They will say, no, I cannot lie. You can explain to them, there is so much benefit for you, just make this one lie of yours, this one signature of yours, and there will be so much gain for you. They say, no, a false statement we cannot make. It was part of their life. We say they were not learned, but they were very pious. What was it? Deen was in their life. The barakat of the Qur'an. And wallah, the barakat of the Qur'an is such that if a person cannot recite, he must learn to recite. If he is living, he should learn. But even so, if he takes the Qur'an and just opens the pages, and with great respect and awe in his heart, these are the words of my Allah. And he just looks at it, the teachings of the Qur'an will seep into him. He will become a practicing Muslim by the barakat of the Qur'an. Such a great ni'mat Allah Ta'ala is given, not only the Muslims. Allah says to the people of the world, Ya Yuhannas, قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. It has come to you from your Rabb. Who is Rabb? Rabb is one sifat, one name of Allah Ta'ala. Of the 99 and many more beautiful names of Allah Ta'ala, Rabb is one name. Rabb is that being who brought us into existence from non-existence. Eh? Today if somebody does us a favor, he gives us a shop or somebody, a friend comes and he says there's a shop available and I think you're the ideal person for it. Turnover is like this, and little effort and lot turnover, you can make a lot of money. Our whole life we will feel indebted to that person. Eh? That he gave us a shop. Somebody comes from Hajj and he brings one topi for us. Hey, we appreciate it so much that you brought a topi. It might be 3 riyals, 5 riyals, whatever. Not much. But what we think in our heart, that this person thought of me. He thought of me and he brought me this present. We'll tell him so much, Jazakallah. Perhaps we will phone him again afterwards, tell him, Jazakallah, you thought of me. Perhaps we'll write him a little note of thanks also and appreciation. But did we ever think of thanking Allah who gave us the head to wear the topi on? If we did not have a head, where should we wear the topi? And that head, what and what hasn't Allah put in this head? We might be astonished with computers and technology, but from where does it come? From this head which Allah has given, the brains which Allah Ta'ala has put. Did any of us, we think till today, make shukr to Allah that He gave us a head, that He gave us our brain? If He had disarranged our brains, if He had made us mad, lunatic, what should be our condition? We should be a problem to ourselves, to our families and everyone. But Allah has kept it in order. How much shukr mustn't we make to Allah Ta'ala? Allah has given us our eyes. Did we ever think and make shukr to Allah for these eyes of ours? So Allah's ni'mats are innumerable. That is who is Rabb. The Rabb is who brought us into existence from non-existence. Rabb is that being that for about 9 months when we were in the insides of our mothers, He fed us, He saw to us. We needed food when life came into us. The mother didn't give us food at that time. The father didn't earn and feed us at that time. Allah says, وَمَنْ لَفْتُمْ بِهِ بِرَازِقِينَ. In one ayat of the Quran, it is Allah who gives rozi to those whom you are not giving rozi. You are thinking you're giving your wife rozi and you are giving your children rozi. Allah says, it is He who is giving rozi to those who you think you are giving rozi to. You are not giving. Allah is the giver of rozi. That is Rabb. So that child for about 5 months in the womb of the mother, Allah sought to that child. The child had his cramps that time also. Who is it that sorted out his problems besides Allah? And wallah, from the time it's born till that time it dies, it is Allah alone who does anything. It is just our test that Allah has made us a means to see whether we are now going to think the means are doing everything or whether it is Allah who is still the doer. That is all what our imtihan is. That is all what La ilaha illallah is, with which we came and with which we have to go. That in this worldly life, that we are not overtaken by the shop, by the job, by the material thing, but we still realize Allah is the sole doer. He is doing it just in the parda, in the veil of other things. Like a child, when it is born, it sees that my mother is giving me milk, I'm drinking from my mother. Afterwards it sees that I'm drinking from a teaspoon, I'm drinking from a bottle, the water, the milk. And it thinks this milk is coming perhaps from this bottle which I'm drinking. As it grows up, it says, no, the bottle, milk is not in the bottle. It is kept in the fridge. That is where my milk is kept and from where I get my milk. As it grows up a little bigger, it realizes, no, the fridge doesn't give milk. It's the dairy man who comes around, or my mother or father, whoever goes to the dairy and buys the milk. My milk comes from the dairy. As it grows a little bigger, it realizes, no, the dairy doesn't give the milk. But it is the cow that is giving the milk. So now it knows the cow gives the milk. A person of Iman knows the cow also cannot give milk. The milk only comes from Allah Ta'ala. If Allah wishes, the cow will give milk. If Allah wishes, give the cow the best of everything, it won't give one drop of milk. And that milk which Allah gives, Allah explains in the Quran, how kind has not Allah been to us. The Maw'iza, this Quran that Allah explained to us, how Allah gives that milk also. مِن بَيْنِ فَرْثْ وَدَمٍ لَبَنًا خَالِصًا سَائِغًا لِلشَّارِبِينَ Allah says that milk comes from the cow, and the whole machinery of Allah, the qudrat of Allah is working in that cow. That from the manufacture of that cow, it has got certain waste products and by-products also. That from on the one side, one pipe is coming out from the where the waste is coming out. And milk and blood is being produced from another pipe, it is coming out. Between the two impurities, the impurity, the dung of the cow is also napak and impure. The blood is also impure and napak. Between the two which are so close, Allah says, مِن بَيْنِ فَرْحْ وَدَمٍ لَبَنًا خَالِصًا Allah takes out that pure milk, سَائِغًا لِلشَّارِبِينَ which is so delicious for those and who enjoy so much the drinking of the milk. Milk, it is said, is a complete meal for a person. Like Zamzam is a complete meal. All vitamins, nutrients, whatever a person requires, Allah has kept it in Zamzam. Allah has kept it in milk. A little child just lives on this milk. So Allah Ta'ala, that cow cannot give that milk. Where can that cow give the milk? It is Allah's machinery that is working and Allah gives it. So that is Rabb. So this Maw'izah, this Quran has come to us from that Rabb who gave us our eyes. And in the Quran He has told us how to use your eyes. The Quran is coming from that Rabb who has given us our digestive system and who has told us what foods to eat, what not to eat, how much to eat, when not to eat. This is the maw'izah of the Quran. Allah says, O people, Ya Yuhannas, قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ And it is a shifa, it is a cure for that which is in your bosom. It is a shifa for the heart. The Quran is a shifa for the heart. And wallah, not only spiritual diseases, even physical diseases, the Quran is a cure, my dear brothers. And physical diseases are all behind spiritual diseases. If a person suffers from spiritual diseases, the greatest spiritual disease of kufr, if he hasn't got somebody to turn to, that person, then you will find him committing suicide. That person, if he's in depression and all the other problems psychologists face, it is only natural if he hasn't got that one being to turn to. A child that is hurt, whether it is tormented psychologically, whether somebody hurt it physically, whatever, if it's got its mother to run to, and the mother puts its hands around the child finds so much comfort. If a person, a human being, has got Iman in Allah Ta'ala, and whatever happens to him, he can suffer the worst domestic problem. He can suffer the worst financial problem, the worst health problem. But if he knows he's got his Allah to turn to, and he can go to Allah, he will find, wallah, much more comfort than what a child finds in the lap of its mother. So that is Allah Tabaruk Ta'ala, shifa'ul lima fi sudur. If a person knows he's got Allah to turn to, more than what my father can help me when I've got problems, more than what my friends can help me, more than what all government helping aids can help me, hospitals, psychologists, and whatever, my Allah can help me. And He will help me in such a way that I don't have to face any humiliation. I don't have to go and tell another insan what my problems are. I don't have to humiliate myself in front of another insan. And when a person turns to Allah and humbles himself to Allah, he is raising in position. His position is not being dropped, but his position is going higher and higher. So if a person has got Allah to turn to, if he's got iman on taqdeer, hey, if a person made effort on his iman, and he knows that what is meant for me will come to me, and what is not meant for me, it will never come, and if it comes also, it will go. So if he loses all his wealth overnight, if he's got iman, he's got no problem. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, it was reported to him that your fleet of ships, Imam Abu Hanifa was a great businessman. He had 40 ships and he was doing import-export trade. His fleet of 40 ships were coming with all his import goods. It was reported to him that all have sunk and you have lost all your goods. We can imagine today, if 40 ships of one person, who even orders a load of 40 ships at one time, but if one person is be told your one container is gone, with that person, he doesn't know which side is he going, whether he's living, whether he's dead, or who is he doesn't know anything. Imam Abu Hanifa was told, he looked down for a while, and all he said, Alhamdulillah. After a while, a report came that was a wrong report, that your 40 ships are in order, and today if we have to be told that you have lost everything, hey? A person who deals import-export and the financial, the rand rate, his eyes are all the time, when he's sleeping also, his eyes are on that rate of the rand, of the dollar. What is happening? Because it changes. Because he, as that is changing, 100 times more, he changes. More worse than a chameleon, he changes all the time. Because that affects him so much. When Imam Abu Hanifa was told that now everything is in order, all he did was look down and he said, Alhamdulillah. They asked him, how is it that both times you said Alhamdulillah? He said, I was looking at the state of my iman. That this dunya will come and go. By its coming, by its going, have I lost my iman or not? Or is my iman still intact? That is the important thing. So if a person makes effort on his iman, the changes of the world will have no effect on him. And if a person hasn't made effort on his iman, just some rumors, and we know what has happened to everyone. What we have just gone through, how much of us, or all our stockpiling and whatever, people up to two garages full. Hey, what didn't they stockpile? What and what did they make? Just because of some rumors, weakness of iman has come into the Muslims also. Non-Muslims do this, it's quite understandable. But Muslims, and not only now, the years preceding this, how many of us were sending our money outside? How many of us, if we know that the same Allah which is in Makkah is in South Africa also? And the same Allah which is in Malaysia is in South Africa also. And the same Allah which is in England is in South Africa also. If we've got our iman, then there is no problem. That is the heart. The heart, the Quran is a shifa. If we will recite our Quran daily, Allah Ta'ala says that with regard to the heart, felt iman in the heart. Acquire knowledge of deen. That is what is knowledge. This dunya's knowledge is not even knowledge. It is not fit to be called knowledge. It is experience of man. What people have experienced, doctors' theories are changing not by the day, by the minute. Today we will find one medicine on the market which they will say is the best medicine for heart problems, for indigestion, for whatever. Tomorrow a new report comes out and governments of the world ban that medicine. It's too harmful. The side effects are too bad. You cannot get that medicine anymore. It can't be sold. It's too harmful. A new medicine comes on the market. And not new medicines come on the market. And all the praises that it is so good, it was tested here and there. Not 6 months pass, not 5 years pass, and it is right off the market. It is too harmful for men. So that is not knowledge. Knowledge is what is called absolute, which never changes. And that is the Quran. That is the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It has stood the test of time, and wallah, it will stand the test of time. No change will ever come in the Quran and in the hadith, not in its words, not in its meaning. Medicines have come and gone. Aspirin at one time, every household had aspirin. Every person had aspirin in his pocket. A small little vendor standing on the street corner was selling aspirin. And today, aspirin is said, it's most harmful for your heart. At one time which had the greatest praises, today it is told, it is banned by the government. It is very harmful, and only under very certain circumstances will doctors be allowed to prescribe it. So what is the changes that come? That is experience of man. That can't be called knowledge. Knowledge is that which is absolute, which never changes. Today we find whether it is accounting, whether it's engineering, whether it is law, laws and everything keep on changing. At one time it was this procedure in law, and to treat a certain criminal case or civil case, in this way you go. Today they say, no, we don't do it anymore that way. That is a thing of the past. Now we do it in a different way. The thing which keeps on changes can never be the truth. Truth can never change. Haq and truth remains one, and that is the Quran Kareem. That is the knowledge of Deen. So Allah Tabarakta, and very fortunate, Alhamdulillah, our young girl who has learned the Quran, all of us whom Allah has blessed us with the Quran, to spend our energies in acquiring this knowledge is where a person must spend his energy. Today we learn so much of one field. Doctors who have studied, they learn so much of a certain medicine, just to find when they graduate that medicine is now off the market. It is no more. Or whatever, the principles also keep on changing. Theories keep on changing. Every day there are changes in all fields. So a person puts so much effort on that. If a person who studies to do his matric, to study his set work, how many set works, not only to read, but to study intensively. And that is Shakespeare, for example, Milton perhaps, or what, whoever else. Any literature is enjoyable. It is enriching. But the literature of the Quran, can it ever even compare? Can Shakespeare ever compare with the Quran? If a person wants to know how to tackle any problem, psychological problem, how to tackle any problem, how the masses think, wallah, it will not be in Shakespeare, it will not be in Milton, it is in the Quran Kareem. It is in the Quran which referred to the hadith as hikmah, as wisdom. A person will find it in the hadith. A person wants to know how the mentality of man works, let him study the hadith and he will know. Let him study the Quran and he will know. Allah has given this. And perhaps we think that why then are the ulama not in front in these fields? Respected elders and brothers, Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani rahmatullah alayhi said that when a student graduates as an alim, at that time he starts to learn. If any student at that time thinks I'm an alim finished and I can sit back, and that is in any field. If a doctor when he's graduated and he thinks I must not do further research, I must not keep abreast with the latest findings, etc., he's going to be in the back seat very soon out of his profession. Nobody will really want to come to him. He will be right outdated. Things keep on moving. And alim is that person. When he graduates, he starts learning. And the best way of learning is to teach. And he keeps abreast with his knowledge all the time. And with the maturity of the mind. And he goes into studies. For example, in tafsir, when a person becomes an alim, at the most he's going to study one or two kitabs on tafsir. And the amount of tafsirs of the Quran that are written, no other commentary of any kitab has been written in the world. So there is a whole, not libraries, the world of libraries of knowledge are still open. A person has to go in, and then we will see what the Quran has got to offer. What the hadith has got to offer. Allah says, وَمَوْعِذَةٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ هُدًى وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. It is hidayah, and it is rahmat, mercy for mankind. The Quran is complete hidayah. Nothing else that he knows more of the heart than what he knows the Quran. If a person doesn't even know from Alam Tara, if he's making sufficing his whole life with four surahs, and he's only reading four surahs, at least he knows he needs for his namaz, because there isn't a namaz with more than four surahs. But that four surahs with Surah Fatiha, that is the most what he knows of the heart, more than he knows anything else. Perhaps he learned some poems when he was at school, they are all forgotten. Perhaps he learned some prose passages from some literature books, they are all forgotten. All what he remembers today is the Quran. So that is what Allah Ta'ala has given us, the greatest gift. وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ. And just that we have got this Quran, بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ is only by the fazl of Allah and by the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. The Quran that we learn, and any hafiz of the Quran, wallah, can never become hafiz of his own accord. It is a gift from Allah Ta'ala. Fadlillah. A person is a hafiz of the Quran. His son becomes a hafiz. Alhamdulillah, Hafizab's daughter. And Alhamdulillah, Maulana's granddaughter. And Baji's granddaughter. This is only by the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. It is not an achievement. Nobody. There are people with so great brains. But if the Quran is not written for them, they will never become hafiz. Everything will happen to them. Hajj is by the mercy of Allah. There are people who have got so much wealth, but they never think of going for Hajj. There are people who are dying and cherishing to go, but they haven't got the means to go. It is only whom Allah makes it possible. And how many hajis will find who will say, last minute I got ready. I didn't know from where the money came. I did not have it. I just made the intention. And how Allah made everything, I don't know. And how I got ready. And there he went for hajj and he came back. And to go on any foreign travel is not easy. To go to Saudi, where the language is not English, where it's a different language, a complete different lifestyle, and especially the 5 days of Hajj. What is it? It is only by the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا. Allah says, this is what you must become joyous about. This is when you have got the Qur'an, the ni'mat of the Qur'an. Allah says, the creator and the giver of the Qur'an. And the Qur'an is a sifat of Allah. It is a quality of Allah when a person has got Qur'an. When a person can read Qur'an, nazra, looking inside, wallah, it is a thing of the greatest joy and pleasure. Allah has given him the greatest treasure. If he becomes hafiz of the Qur'an, wallah, more than anything else, today we are proud in our family, in our town we got so many doctors. What is it that we are being proud about if we analyze it, that we are a sick people? Only if you are so sick, you need so many doctors. If you are not sick, you don't need so many doctors. We are so proud, we got so many lawyers. In our town, there are so many lawyers. What it means? We are criminals. That's why we need lawyers to fight our cases. But if a person has got Quran, he has got the word of Allah. فَبِذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُ. That is what you must become proud about. That is what you must become. Not proud in the sense of looking down upon somebody else. Not proud that I am better than somebody else. But proud that Allah has been kind to me. He has showered His favors on me. He has showered His favors on my family. فَبِذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا. Allah corrects our thinking, and in which direction we must be going. That the greatest joy is the Qur'an. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, whenever he should make khatam of the Qur'an, looking inside as we read, some of us make once a month, some in 3 months, some in 6 months, some in a year, some only in Ramzan. But Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, whenever he should make khatam, he should slaughter a cow and he should distribute the meat. This is what we must be happy about. This is where we must show our joy. Of course, within limits of course, everything. There mustn't be, even in our walima dawahs, in everything, there mustn't be extravagance, there mustn't be waste, there mustn't be show of things. But these are the pleasures of Allah which He has bestowed upon us, His ni'mats which He has favored us with, and we must show our happiness. And how do we show it? The commentators of this ayat says, we appreciate the Qur'an. We bring the teachings of the Qur'an within us. That what the Qur'an teaches us, our lifestyle becomes like that of the Qur'an. That is appreciating the ni'mats of the Qur'an. And our iman becomes like the Qur'an. And all our teachings become like the Qur'an. Our lifestyle, the teachings of the Qur'an. This is then what is the appreciation of the Qur'an. And everything else, for example, a walima da'wat. Alhamdulillah, it is something to celebrate. Allah has given us a great ni'mat. But if we are making that walima on the one side, we are having that reception, but on the other side, we are going to now go on to a honeymoon, totally in the Western style. This is not appreciation. This we are just fooling, and we can never fool Allah. Outwardly, it will seem that we are fooling Allah, but we are just fooling ourselves. So like that with the celebration of the Quran, and as any other deeni matter, we must see that we are becoming a bit closer. We are going for Hajj. We came for Hajj. We are giving da'wahs. By all means, it is a great ni'mat Allah has blessed us with. But the main thing is, the lifestyle of a haji must be within us. If we are giving those da'wahs and everything, but we are living totally against the lifestyle of a haji, what Hajj has taught us, then that is something, then that is not at all appreciation. If a person tells somebody, gives him good advice, and he says, what a good advice you gave me, but he doesn't follow it. We get the top doctor for a disease, for a sickness, and he gives us the best medicine, prescribed in the perfect way. And we are proud about it, that we got the top doctor, and he gave us the best medicine, but we don't use that medicine. We just put it one side. That can never be called appreciation. So the Quran which Allah has given us, it must come into our lives. That is the true appreciation. That is our true expression of the joy. فَبِذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِّمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. The Quran declares, the Quran is better than all that what you are acquiring of the dunya. All your properties, your bank balances, everything one side, the glitter and the glamour of this fleeting world, everything on one side, and Quran, a child just learns to read Quran, that on one side, this is much more superior anytime. That famous instance many of us must have heard, a father who passed away, he was not a good man, and he was getting azab in his qabr. When his child that he left behind, when the child went to the madrasa, to the maktab, and the ustad told the child, par bachyo, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, just starting in the name of Allah who is so merciful and who is so kind. The child hadn't even start with alif still. Allah says, when the child is saying, I'm so merciful and kind, then how can I punish the father? And Allah removed the azab of that father. So all our treasures of our world, our degrees of this world, our political positions in this world, our position in our community and our society, that won't take away that azab of the qabr. But when the child will take Allah's name, and the alif of Allah, wallah, my dear brothers, that ustad who has taught us, not only our children, that ustad who has taught us our alif, we are so indebted to that ustad. Whatever we could have, if we give it for that ustad, it is not sufficient. We can't pay that ustad. And a ustad can never be paid his wages. It is only in the akhirah that he will be paid. The dunya is too small to pay him his wages. Whatever little that we are giving is just to pay his expenses in this worldly life. But we can never pay the wages. And on this, let us not forget our ustads on the occasion of Qurbani now. Many of us, alhamdulillah, we make for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we must carry on. And not only one, Allah give us topic, make more qurbanis. For our parents we make, but very seldom do we think of our ustads. And if we do think of our ustads, the ustad that we feel had an effect on us, who taught us our bigger kitabs, we will make for him. But that ustad who taught us our alif ba ta ta, perhaps it was some apa also. Perhaps it wasn't a Mauli sahab, just some person who was out of job, they put him in the madrasa. And that is why we don't have the quality of Islamic teaching. Because we don't put the right people, and up to now we were not having the right people. Anyone in the town who had an eye, who kept a beard and was little bit naked, but he wasn't at all qualified. We put him in the madrasa just to keep an eye over the children. But if he taught us our alif, make qurbani on his behalf also. Make qurbani on behalf of our ustad. Make qurbani on behalf of our imams, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi. They've got great, great favors and ihsan on the ummah. Make qurbani on behalf of the sahaba. What sacrifices they made that deen has come to us today. So if Allah has given us the means, let us make qurbani on their behalf also. So this is a great ni'mat, mubarak badi, and congratulations. We know for boys it is common they become hafiz, though we don't encourage for girls to become hafiz because their life is not, so to say, in their control. When they get married, we don't know what type of husbands they will have. We all hope for the best. We don't know what the future holds. To look after the Quran is difficult, but nobody can stop anyone from becoming hafiz. If it is written in the taqdeer of a girl, she will become hafiz. So though we don't promote it, but we're somebody of the initiator, where we will put our hands on their back and say, carry on, you are doing something very great, very virtuous and very honorable. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha is the first lady to become hafiz of the Quran. In the annals of the history of Islam, we will find innumerable girls and women who have become hafiz. One lady going for Hajj was such a hafiz of the Quran. Every question the people asked her on her journey, she gave the answer from the Quran all the time. She did not speak one word from her own side. Every answer to every question was from the Quran. So Islam has produced those type of women. May Allah Ta'ala bring that day again when Islam will produce those women again. Otherwise we know what is a woman's life. It is a cooking and baking perhaps. And today it is various degrees. It is modeling, it is dressing, it is fashion. This is what is moreover for a woman. And for a girl, a young girl, such an honorable family Allah has chosen, that the hifz of the Quran be put in this house. Amen. That a young girl, Allah has put the Quran into her bosom. Amen. This is a gift from Allah. It is something extremely praiseworthy. It is for all of us to take a lesson. Amen. We cannot blame anyone. It is possible in our day and age. It is happening in front of our eyes, in our midst. The Quran can come alive in our homes. There is a case where it has come, and it can be in every house also. Our children, our sons, our daughters, let this be a lesson for us, that we take the Quran with us, and the Quran comes into our house. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, every community has got something by which they are proud, of which they are proud. The pride of my community and my people is the Quran. Let the Quran be living in our homes. Let the recite today, and so said, each one of us ask, is the recitation of the Quran in our houses. Previously it was common, even when men will finish their fajr, as they are walking home, from every house they will hear recitation of the Quran. Today we will think, is there something wrong if we go in a house and they are reading Quran, we think somebody died or something. Because so sadly the Quran has been associated with mort in our times. Whereas the Quran is to give life, it's not for death. The only time Quran comes in our houses and we hear Quran being recited is when somebody has died. Or we drive past somewhere and we see all men standing with topis. What comes in our mind? That somebody has passed away. The topi is the sign of mort, unfortunately. Whereas the topi was the sign of a believer, the sunnat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today we have associated it with death. So Allah has given us the Quran. Let the Quran be alive in our house. Tilawat of the Quran. And then let us practice upon the Quran. Our young children, boys and girls, let them make them hafiz of the Quran. Don't force, especially our girls. Boys also we should not force. It's not for us to become a hafiz. It's the greatest honor and greatest gift that a person becomes a hafiz. But girls must not be pushed at all. But if it's written for them, by all means encourage them, because their lives are a bit different. May Allah accept this great gathering. May Allah Ta'ala accept this occasion. Inshallah, our young sister will be now completing the Quran amongst the ladies and her mihram family, and then we'll make dua. Duas are very readily accepted when Quran is made khatam. I've gone well beyond my time. I asked to be excused for that. But alhamdulillah, such an occasion that we could pass on a few words. Allah, may Allah accept this occasion. Wa akhiru da'wana alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi.
Ya la Muhammad in adada ma tuhibbu wa tarda. Wa adada ma tuhibbu wa tarda. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad kama yanbaghi an yusalli alayhi. اللهم صل على محمد كما أمرتنا أن نصلي عليه اللهم صل على محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما رب اجعلنا مقيم الصلاة ومن ذريتنا ربنا وتقبل دعاء ربنا اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وللمؤمنين يوم يقوم الحساب ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا آتنا من لدنك رحمة وهيئ لنا من أمرنا رشدا ربنا أفرغ علينا صبرا وتوفنا مسلمين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. يا كثير الخير ويا دائم المعروف، يا قديم الإحسان، أحسن إلينا بإحسانك القديم. اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدين والدنيا والآخرة. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدين والدنيا والآخرة. اللهم أجرنا من النار، اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا يا رحمن يا رحيم يا غفار يا غفور. اللهم ہماری مغفرت فرما يا الله، سب گنہگار ہیں يا الله ہماری تو مغفرت فرما يا الله. یا اللہ اپنے فضل و کرم سے تو نے جو یا اللہ فضل فرمایا ہے یا اللہ بچی پر اور گھر والوں پر، یا اللہ اپنے فضل و کرم سے اس نعمت کی حفاظت فرمایا.
آمین آمین.
یا اللہ تو نے اپنے فضل و کرم سے یہ نعمت دی ہے، یا اللہ تیرے فضل و کرم ہی سے اس کی حفاظت ہو سکتی ہے. یا اللہ تو اس نعمت کی حفاظت فرمانا. یا اللہ اس نعمت کی حفاظت فرمانا.
آمین.
یا اللہ تمام کی، یا اللہ اس نعمت کی برکت سے اللہ مغفرت فرمانا. آمین. یا اللہ تمام کی اس نعمت کی برکت سے مغفرت فرما. یا اللہ رحم کا معاملہ فرما، کرم کا معاملہ فرما. یا اللہ اللہم اغفر لامت سیدنا محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. اللهم ارحم امت سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم اجبر امت سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم استر امت سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. جزى الله عنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو اهله، وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.
أيها الإخوة، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. يسر تسجيلات الفردوس الإسلامية بالخرج أن تقدم لكم الإصدار الثالث، والذي يشتمل على تلاوة طيبة مباركة سجلت في صلاة التراويح، وهي تفسير لسور لقمان، السجدة، سبأ، وفاطر، بصوت الشيخ عبد الله المطرود. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يوفقنا وإياكم لما يحب ويرضى، وأن يجعلنا من الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه، إنه سميع مجيب. والآن مع التلاوة.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام ميم، تلك آيات الكتاب الحكيم، هدى ورحمة للمحسنين الذين يقيمون الصلاة ويؤتون الزكاة وهم بالآخرة هم يوقنون، أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون. ومن الناس من يشتري لهو الحديث ليضل عن سبيل الله بغير علم ويتخذها هزوا، أولئك لهم عذاب مهين. وإذا تتلى عليه آياتنا ولا مستكبرا كأن لم يسمعها كأن في وطرا فبشره بعذاب أليم. إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لهم جنات النعيم خالدين فيها وعد الله حقا وهو العزيز الحكيم. خلق السماوات بغير عمد ترونها وألقى في الأرض رواسي أن تميد بكم وبث فيها من كل دابة وأنزلنا من السماء ماء فأنبتنا فيها من كل زوج كريم. هذا خلق الله فأروني ماذا خلق الذين من دونه بل الظالمون في ضلال مبين. ولقد آتينا لقمان الحكمة أن اشكر لله ومن يشكر فإنما يشكر لنفسه ومن كفر فإن الله غني حميد. وإن قال لقمان لابنه وهو يعظه يا بني لا تشرك بالله إن الشرك لظلم عظيم. ووصينا الإنسان بوالديه حملته أمه وهنا على وهن وفصاله في عامين أن اشكر لي ولوالديك إلي المصير. وإن جاهداك على أن تشرك بما ليس لك به علم فلا تطعهما وصاحبهما في الدنيا معروفا واتبع سبيل من أناب إلي ثم إلي مرجعكم فأنبئكم بما كنتم تعملون. يا بني إنها إن تكف على حبة من خردل فتكن في صخرة أو في السماوات أو في الأرض يأت بها الله إن الله لطيف خبير. يا بني أقم الصلاة وأمر بالمعروف وانه عن المنكر واصبر على ما أصابك إن ذلك من عزم الأمور. ولا تصعر خدك للناس ولا تمش في الأرض مرحا إن الله لا يحب كل مختال فخور. واقصد في مشيك واغضض من صوتك إن أنكر الأصوات لصوت الحمير. ألم تر أن الله سخر لكم ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وأسبغ عليكم نعمه ظاهرة وباطنة ومن الناس من يجادل في الله بغير علم ولا هدى ولا كتاب مبين. وإذا قيل لهم اتبعوا ما أنزل الله قالوا بل نتبع ما وجدنا عليه آباءنا أولو كان الشيطان يدعوهم إلى عذاب السعير. ومن يسلم وجهه إلى الله وهو محسن فقد استمسك بالعروة الوثقى وإلى الله عاقبة الأمور ومن كفر فلا يحزنك كفره إلينا مرجعهم فلنبئهم بما عملوا إن الله عليم بذات الصدور نمتعهم قليلا ثم نضطرهم إلى عذاب غليظ ولئن سألتهم من خلق السماوات والأرض ليقولن الله قل الحمد لله بل أكثرهم لا يعلمون لله ما في السماوات والأرض إن الله هو الغني الحميد ولو أن ما في الأرض من شجرة أقلام والبحر يمده من بعده سبعة أبحر ما نفدت كلمات الله إن الله عزيز حكيم ما خلقكم ولا بعثكم إلا كنفس واحدة إن الله سميع بصير ألم تر أن الله يولج الليل في النهار ويولج النهار في الليل وسخر الشمس والقمر كل يجري إلى أجل مسمى وأن الله بما تعملون خبير ذلك بأن الله هو الحق وأن ما يدعون من دونه الباطل وأن الله هو العلي الكبير ألم تر أن الفلك تجري في البحر بنعمة الله ليريكم من آياته إن في ذلك لآيات لكل صبار شكور وإذا غشيهم موج كالظلل دعوا الله مخلصين له الدين فلما نجاهم إلى البر فمنهم مقتصد وما يجحد بآياتنا إلا كل قتار كفور يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم واخشوا يوما لا يجزي والد عن ولده ولا مولود وجاه عن والده شيئا إن وعد الله حق فلا تغرنكم الحياة الدنيا ولا يغرنكم بالله الغرور إن الله عنده علم الساعة وينزل الغيث ويعلم ما في الأرحام وما تدري نفس ماذا تكسب غدا وما تدري نفس بأي أرض تموت